Amy, would you like to read our scripture for us?
You need to unmute, Amy.
I'm so sorry. I thought I did that. So anyways, it's Luke 2:22-38. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom and the custom of the law, he took him up in the arms and blessed God and said, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled as what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So that thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. And there was prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow, she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up with the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Thank you, Amy, for sharing that. So this lectionary often skips the story of Simeon and Anna, but this is a very special story for me. And so I'm not doing a meditation. We're going to have a conversation. I'm just going to ask a couple questions and let y'all, you know, let's have a little talk with each other. And the two things that always stand out to me about this story are, one, that both of these, Simeon and Anna, are elders who have lived long, long lives of faith and hope, hoping for something they had not yet seen, and believing that someday God was going to fulfill the promises that they were hoping for. So one of my questions is to think about is more, you know, what are we hoping and longing for? Or think of other people in our community or that, you know, that whose hope and continued faithful longing is meaningful to you. And I guess I would start by saying, since I've come to Ithaca, Judd Kilgore's continued faithful, persevering longing for gun violence to go down brings me keeps reminding me and bringing that up to me and making me pray for that and be aware of that. So that's the kind of hope, long-term faith and hope I think we see in Simeon and Anna. And I wondered if it brings up any thoughts from one of you that you might like to share. Just raise your hand. Just like joys and concerns. Linda Nicholson.
Thank you. Ever since I was a small child, I've always been just stunned by the lack of connection between the actions of humanity and an understanding of how we connect with the earth. You know, pollution. I remember drawing pictures of, you know, exhaust coming out of car pipes and just being so angry that this was happening, you know, back in the 60s. And here we are today, you know. So I guess I really long for just reconnecting of our species with the planet and with the gifts of all creation from God.
Thank you, Linda. Anybody else?
I'm going to try that again. I've tried 3 times to click on that. One of the things that I'm daily grateful for is when I offered to fill in for a while until they got a new secretary 10 years ago, it never occurred to me that I would be able to continue being a social worker. It never occurred to me. I thought I would be doing really just administrative things. On Thursday, Debbie, we got a call from someone, a mother of 5, who had lost everything in a fire the day before. And all of the, and what I do, because it's what I know how to do, is check with all the other services to make sure they've gotten everything that they can. And what they didn't have, what no service covered, was gifts for these 5 children. And with our pastor's permission, we gave them a gift card for Walmart. I was going to call on the church families, and Debbie reasonably said, that's a little much for right now. And there's 3 of the children are older, are teens and up. And so it seemed like the mother would know best what to get them. And she was really, really grateful. They stopped by my house and picked up the gift card. But that ability to keep doing things, even though I'm in the church office and you know, doing bulletins and answering your calls, I'm also able to answer the calls for the public. And I am honestly completely grateful for that.
So you can still be thinking about that question if anybody, you know, but the other thought that comes to mind, and you can also just share if there's something about this passage that strikes you or a question you have about it, like we do in Bible study. But I guess the other question that I would ask is, the thing about Simeon and Anna was that they were able to look at this little baby coming in with all the other crowds of coming into the temple and recognize that this was God's action, that God was responding, that this was God's redemption being born, had been born in this baby, and was the plan was unfolding. So the other question is then, where are places we see God at work? Where are places we recognize God, Christ's presence, maybe in unexpected or surprising places? So that's another question to think about and respond. Josie, I think I see your hand. And then Leslie.
Where I see God's hand at play is it wasn't so long ago that our church, really for the first time, did a Transgender Day of Remembrance. This included students from Cornell and from Ithaca College gathering in our sacred space to have trans people show up in a place of worship is extraordinary. So many people in my community have been hurt by churches and dogmas and the like, but that we could allow and actually have them, these wonderful young people, come to our church and offer their remembrances of the hundreds and hundreds of transgender people that have been murdered is heartwarming to me. And that our vision for the future continues to go for service and for broadening our vision for what does togetherness really look like across our species. Thank you.
Thank you, Josie. Leslie?
Sorry, just had to unmute. I'll speak to both of those, hope and, recognizing God. I think God among us, God working in our lives. I feel so grateful to the community here for being so open about talking about addiction and mental health and how they work together, but also among us, my friend Peter DeMott used to say mental health, yep, it's not for everybody. but it's Bill and Mai in particular, Biz in particular, just so thankful for your honest sharing, because it's such a strong reality in the world right now in our community, not just the First Baptist community, but the Tompkins County, the larger, wider community. People are struggling so hard with addiction and hanging on to their mental health. So I really appreciate that. Brings me hope that we can be honest with each other and then open the door to be able to support and love each other. It's such a beautiful, simple formula.
Thank you, Leslie. Amy?
First Baptist Church has brought hopefulness to me and joy, and I just really appreciate that.
Thank you. Anybody else? So are there other thoughts you have about this scripture? I don't claim to have the corner on the market to know what stands out or what might be worth raising up for us to think about. Anybody?
I thought it was interesting that the comment in the reading was that she was 84.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to be on my next birthday. So there's some hope there.
Well, yeah, and I think that is part of, a number of you are closer to 84 than you are. You're closer to Simeon and Anna's ages than you are to Mary and Joseph's ages. Let's put it that way. And yet, they were so important to Mary and Joseph. The fact that these elders recognized who this child was and what was happening in their lives and blessed them was incredibly important. And I think that's a word to all elders to say, the continuing recognizing, looking, hoping, seeing where God's at work and blessing people that are is all part of the work of elders. So I saw a few others of you raise your hand when you're saying 84 felt fairly close or it's about me. So, anybody else have thoughts you want to share?
I got my hand up.
Margie, I'm sorry. There you go.
I popped my hand up. Yeah, I was, I guess the scripture passage itself is kind of a reminder to me to be awake and watching for those particular signs. I mean, it every time a child is born in this world, there's this unknown potential. I mean, that person, we each of us can be redeemers to one another and work ourselves for that redemption. So it's partly a matter of, and also, you know, if you meet a child, and it made me think about the struggles that the young people are having with the pandemic and in school and our teachers. And I mean, we all have a part to play and offering up those positive steps towards making wholeness and peace in the world. And every one of us can look for that in each other and hold on to that. Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you. It's a good word. Tony.
Shortly after Barbie died, I stopped by the Cancer Resource Center. I wanted to make sure that they knew Barbie had died and offer a donation, but also just to meet them. And there were four staff, including the executive director there that afternoon. And I was so touched by the caring and the concern that they offer to the people that come through those doors seeking help and information and community to deal with the reality of their illness. And so I think organizations similar to Cancer Resources Center and in our community and other communities do such important work. And so truly that is God's love in action. I know it was very important for Barbie. They introduced her to the Horse Center where she got eventually a job that filled her life with joy. I know Bronwyn has gone up to that horse farm with and experienced the same joy of being with the horses. So I just lift up organizations like the Cancer Resource Center and bless those people that are willing to be for others. And that's a way that really often is tough. Because you know, they know they open their hearts and they're going to feel sorrow when that person dies. So they're such special people. I thank them deeply.
Steve Farrell?
Yeah, as we're talking, I'm thinking of a song that actually Ron Christie sings. And the line is, "I see God in you." And I think we're all saying that right now. I see God in all of you. I see God every day when you encounter people. My neighbor next door has two young children. They go to St. Mary's School. We watched their concert on Facebook. I saw people I knew previous. Every day we see people and you see God. And that reminds me of Simeon seeing God, you know, knowing God in Jesus when he sees him. And like with Judd, and I see God in Judd. I see God in Tony. I really believe that. And everyday people, I was in the store the other day and someone did something really kind for somebody else. And, you know, God is here and God, and I see God in people. So thank you.
Marlene?
Every time I hear this passage, the message that comes to me is that they speak of these two older people who have spent their life hoping and never losing faith that this will come to pass. And I think of the last almost 2 years that we're waiting for the virus to pass. And we cannot give up hope and we cannot give up our diligence. And I think it's just a lesson of faith.
Thank you, Marlene. Mm-hmm. Brings it home to where we are right now, all of us, right? The whole world. Well, thank you all for sharing. Thank you for being who you are. We've expressed gratitude today, but I think, you know, we are together we are the presence of, you know, we help each other be the presence of Christ in the world, right? We call it out of each other. We recognize it in each other. We share it with others. And that is our work as Christian people. So I'm grateful for each of you. Very grateful that I'm your pastor. good to be together.